This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. It's the home of the Hatch, Hatching Post, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, and a bunch more. Just a heads up, have you heard about Hangover Church at Black Swift Vineyards? Breakfast and Blasphemy at Black Swift Vineyards every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12:30. All the details at jpcustoms.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm so excited. How can I tell I'm excited? I've almost forgotten my name. And this is Tasting Room Radio. Last week, if you joined us last week, we were talking of wines of 2021 with the wine diva Dana Van Mulligan. And I had expected that the last segment of the show would be a gathering of the tribes with Dana. And then DJ Kearney would join us and add her view of 2021 and wines of the year and favorite wines and wine gifting and New Year's and all that stuff. But I got an email saying, I can't make it. Well, we now have found time and space and the will to gather together myself and DJ Kearney. I'm sure, Deej, that Dana is walking her dogs right now on a beach somewhere and doesn't want to be thinking about wine.
Sensible. Very, very sensible. But we get to talk about wine, and that's a great way to start the morning.
You know that I sent you a quick note that basically said, can we talk about wine gifts, whether it's for yourself or others, wines of the year, and maybe a New Year's Eve pour or a New Year's pour before and after the lead up to it, holidays. And you sent me a list in block letters. You're emphatic. You're emphatic about these wines. And more importantly, I wanted to talk to you about Wine Align 2021. You were one of the judges, of the 25 judges in that room. It was the 20th year. Have you done all 20?
I almost. The first year was very small. My better half, David Schofield, was one of those judges. But I joined in 2003 or four. It's all a long time ago. So I'm 18 or 19 years of judging, and I have never missed a year since. And it's just the most amazing privilege and, great position, bird's eye view position of what the country looks like. And seeing things evolve over the last nearly two decades has just, it's been a revelation, Terry. It really, really has.
Okay.
It's a significant competition. The, it gets more wines than any other, I believe. And, it's got gravitas. The judging crew is tip top.
Now, give me some numbers. Do you remember how many wines you tasted?
Oh, well, they were close to 2,000, okay, or just over 2,000 entered. And I tasted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
So is it do it like a race? Is it a 10K run? Is it a miracle mile, or is it a marathon?
It's the biggest intellectual challenge that you can imagine. I mean, I'll equate it to a marathon because I've run many marathons and I know how draining they are. What we've learned about judging over the last, decade especially, is that less is more. We don't burden the judges with more than sort of 80 to 90 wines a day. And when I started judging two decades ago, sometimes it was 300 wines a day, and you just, the results are not sound when you have to judge that many wines. So we judge for, we judge for many, many hours, but we have a little more time to deal with the wines, and they're all blind. We judge blind, of course. That's absolutely essential to the process, and it's just a mentally exhausting. We could sit for 9 hours and do this, but it's much better if you have, 5 to 6 hours, but you are so focused that you're brain dead at the end of the day. And if you're not doing your job properly.
Exactly that. I've been there from a rookie standpoint.
Yes, you have.
And I just remember that I was okay till I got to the Reds. The Reds just rolled over me. My mouth was saying, no, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, no. You have to reset after every single wine. And, the buildup of tannins, especially in the Reds and oak and power and concentration can really do you in. So you just, you remarshal your brain after every single wine and you drink a lot of water, sparkling water in particular, to scour the palate. A little bit of really horrible stale bread has
yes.
no flavor.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's what good judges are, ones that have managed to figure out this mental marathon. Your mouth gets shredded at the end of the week. You've got, you know, cankers and sores, and it's not fun.
Not fun at all.
By the way, it's an amazing privilege.
By the way, she is our friend. And a great wine expert, DJ Kearney, director of wine at Terminal City Club, and a wine education specialist, amongst the other credits that she has and the awards. I want to ask you before we move on, in Wine Line, it's kind of important to me anyway. The Wine Line Nationals, when those awards came out, you wait for three. You read the others, and they all surprise. Then you wait for the Platinums. You wait for the top 10 wineries. Top 25 wineries and winery of the year. Here's the deal. They were, those Platinums, there's a bias against Canadian wines that were too expensive. And the most expensive Platinum wine was the Quail's Gate for $32, but 14 of them were under $30. That's pretty good. Mm.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I agree with you about our high prices, but remember, we also have very high production costs.
That's right.
And we pay people well. So I think, you know, those things always have to be considered. But yes, isn't it fabulous when the great, you know, bargains and not overpriced gems show? And it was so exciting to judge this year and to look at my binder, afterwards to look at what we awarded. I think we had a sense of excitement in the room this year, just at the quality, the purity. You know, just the better farming was showing, more restrained winemaking, the high quality last couple of vintages,
sure,
that have been on the cooler side really helped. And to me, the amplitude of the winners, from Platinum to the Bronze, and I always want to advocate for Bronze, Terry. You know, I know that people think it's, I think Harry McWaters once said a bronze medal is like a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, worse than.
Yes, yes.
To me, bronze matters. Like, do you think any Olympic athlete is sad to win a bronze medal over fourth place or not even part of the competition?
But you know what? You and I have really good friends who will not list their bronze medals.
I know. I don't know how we're going to change this. I think it's, you know, soon we're going to have titanium above platinum, and there will be no more bronze.
But for a small winery just starting out and just looking for any sort of recognition, that's the way to go. You start with bronze and you work your way up. Now the whites, first of all, I did notice that in 2019 there was one sparkling wine in the Platinums. Now this year there are six, so I love that. The white wines, the Chardonnay, four from BC, Lumescence, Quail's Gate, Meyer Family, and Monte Creek, way to go, with Harper's Trail just down the road in Kamloops, who they've got a Chardonnay sparkling. So this is good.
It really is. The Chardonnays are they're just majestic. And what we're able to do here with Chardonnay from Ontario to BC is just, you know, it's our own style. There are Burgundian references here and there, but this conjunction of high, full, lush ripeness with just electrifying acidity. And I think the winemaking is what really set these, our top wines apart, is, you know, there's a restraint, there's an expertise, there's a confidence, and everything. As I look at the Platinum list and the Gold list, is just, I want to drink these every day, all of them.
The Platinum Reds, I couldn't help but notice that we got one off of Vancouver Island, Rathjen Cellars, a Pinot Noir. Well done. Moraine, Dwight Sick, two from Blasted Church. Actually, I think there was even a third. There was a white. They did their Bordeaux blend got recognized, which is fantastic, and a Cab Franc. The Maverick had a Syrah. Road 13 had a GSM.
Oh, that was so good. Oh. Yes.
I'm taking you back. And the best small BC winery, of course, was La Friends on the Naramata Bench, right at the start of the bench. And they have always known who they were and what they wanted to do, Jeff and Neva Martin.
You are so right about that. I can remember tasting their wines 20 years ago when they just got started. And, you know, they've won this award before, Best Small Winery, and it just shows that, you know, focus is everything. And when you are small and you just really, you've got a great winemaker and you've got Jeff and Neva's experience and their daughter taking the reins now, it makes me very, very proud that this terroir shows the dedication of the family, and the wines have always been exciting, haven't they?
They have, they're great friends, and I just love their attitude. I love the way he makes his wines and what he thinks about competition. He's deadly serious about the ones he goes into. By the way, from that Best Small Winery list, Meyer, Maverick, Spearhead, Painted Rock, Lake Breeze, Moraine, Corselet, Stags Hollow, and then we get to Wine of the Year, and there's no sign of BC. It is the wonderful Malivore of Beamsville Bench.
Yes.
17 medals, 3 platinums, first time anybody's ever won 3 platinums. And 18 of the top 25 came from BC. So the judging system, I understand how you have to make a decision at some point, but Malivore, they won hands down. They are the Winery of the Year.
They were, and their wines are spectacular. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to visit and taste with Shiraz, the winemaker. And they're just, again, they've fine-tuned things so beautifully. They're expressive wines. They're pure. This year, it was very difficult to blind tasting, discern what was Ontario and what was BC. It's always been something that you kind of keep in the back of your mind. And yes, we have wonderful wines from Nova Scotia and Quebec, especially this year. But, you know, it's often a conversation that we have at dinners after judging. It's just what the general benchmarks are for Ontario versus BC. This year, it's blurred, and there's elegance that comes out of our Okanagan and Similkameen and islands. And Ontario is getting a little more potent and concentrated. So it's fascinating to see how our two main provinces are colliding with elegance and purity. But Malivore wines were just wonderful.
Deej, it's been a while since you've been on the show. You might have forgotten that I never, once we set out, things take over. It's organic. And so
it is organic.
And so segment 2 is right around the corner, my friends. I'm talking with and listening to the words of DJ Kearney, the director of wine at Terminal City Club and a wine education specialist. Many of the sommeliers that you would see in your travels have been educated by DJ. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the wines of the year, wine gifting, and New Year's Eve with DJ right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. It's the home of the Hatch, Hatching Post, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy, and a bunch more. Just a heads up, have you heard about Hangover Church at Black Swift Vineyards? Breakfast and Blasphemy at Black Swift Vineyards every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12:30. All the details at jpcustoms.ca. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The very popular 2021 Wine Advent Calendar is now available. Each Moon Cursor Advent Calendar contains 12 mystery wines, all beautifully hand-wrapped. Included are an assortment of current releases, alongside a selection of library wines from the cellar. Each wine is individually wrapped and numbered. You can also get a 6-bottle vertical collection of their Twinkling Tempranillo. All the details at mooncursor.com. She's DJ Kearney. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm thrilled to have her back on the show. Deej, now, First of all, just on, as an aside, we've all had to adjust over the last year and a half. How'd it work out for you? Did you hunker down well?
I did. I mean, the first few months of the pandemic in whatever, March, April, May 2020, it was actually an amazing respite for me. I've been going for so many years and traveling and working and like just no weekends off. And just to sit and do nothing for a little while, I have to say, was a welcome thing. And then obviously it got very, you know, it got tiresome and upsetting as you just saw the industry start to crumble around us. And it's been pretty devastating, right? The low level trauma that we've felt in the industry, food and wine and hospitality and restaurants that have closed and careers that have ended. And it's been pretty harrowing. And it's, you know, it's not looking that much brighter, is it? I think this is our new normal, and we just have to adapt and drink a little more.
I think, well, that's just it, because I think we were all concerned about the fate of the small winery. And yet, all of a sudden, we started to get reports back that cases of wine were going out the door. People were stocking up because they knew that the wineries delivered, and they knew they could use it as furniture if they had to. So many of them reported fantastic sales.
They did, and wine stores were just pumping it out as well. Yeah. I think any BC winery that was set up for direct to consumers and had a great website, they benefited from this. But you know, it's interesting. The wine e-commerce, which is a big deal in major mature markets around the world, is still relatively small in Canada for our size and for the amount of other stuff that we transact online. And you know, the pandemic has boosted that for sure, but people still love to go into wine shops and look at labels, touch bottles, and talk to people. It's very, very interesting to see this phenomenon. The one thing that I do want to mention is that for BC wines, and I haven't curated an exact list of what I really love to drink from BC, but that's where a website like winealign.ca is so useful. It's a really modest annual subscription, and that's where you can see all of the results are there for free, of course, but you can read reviews like mine and all of the 20 odd other judges on that website. It's, you know, Canadian wines are first and foremost. And I always encourage people to subscribe to that website so that you can read the reviews. And all of the wines that are part of the awards over the years are worth our time and our dollars.
Yes.
Let's talk international now.
Let's do that, and we'll come back to BC. It goes like this. Your list came charging in here. In what order did you write these out? Just what came to mind first? These are your international wines that you want to drink or gift. So here we go.
Exactly. So international wines. The first two on my list are champagnes. And, you know, this is I love champagne. I drink it all the time. And this month I have extra reason or excuses to drink it, and I've got two on my list. First of all, when I sent you this list, Terry, availability is something that matters a lot, right? So I looked to see what we could buy at the BC liquor stores, because that's where the majority of people still shop. What can you buy easily? And you know, I'm thinking about the end of the year. I'm thinking about New Year's, but also just every weekend I'm going to drink a bottle of champagne or two. One that to me that is, you know, champagne is expensive, right? It's a luxury drink. The champagne region produces 4% of French wine, but accounts for 30% of French wine revenue.
Yes.
That's something that's pretty sobering to consider. There's a wonderful producer in the BC liquor store system called Pierre Paillard. Grower champagne, small production, and they have a Grand Cru wine on the shelf. It's white. It's called Les Parcelles Bousy Grand Cru. All of the fruit comes from their Grand Cru vineyards. It is just a very complex, special wine. And to me, what's most noteworthy is it's $67.99. It's one of the least expensive wines in the store. It's all Grand Cru fruit. It's absolutely special and delicious. And that's what I'm going to drink.
All right. I'm going to go out and find it almost immediately as soon as I hang up here. But more importantly, I just want to remind the audience out there listening that we put all of the names on our website, tastingroomradio.com, so that if the names go by, if they go by too quickly and I don't spell them out, just know that the list is there under DJ's name. Okay, Deej.
Okay, so next is my house champagne, and that is Paul Roget.
Yeah.
It's a Grand Maison. It's been around in the market for decades and decades. And what's special about Champagne Paul Roget is that they're one of the few houses that still does everything by hand. There is mechanization that has been brought to the champagne world. You know, it comes in the form of clarifying the wines, of riddling them, getting the yeast out. And yeast is what that long-term contact with yeast in the individual bottle that you buy is what makes champagne special and toasty and complex and nutty and biscuity. You have to get the yeast out at some point. Champagne Paul Roget still does people in the cellars riddling, turning the bottles, shaking them, help get the yeast into the right place of the bottle so that it can be removed. That's special. And even their non-vintage wine, the Brut Reserve, is riddled by hand. It costs, this champagne costs a little bit more at $73.99, but their beautiful white label Brut Reserve is something that everybody should try. There's so much choice in the world of champagne.
Yeah, yeah.
But those little things that set them apart, the grower champagne producer of Pierre Paillard, and Paul Roget.
We all have reason to celebrate getting through these 2 years, especially this last year. And that's one of the ways you can do it. Paul Roget, Reserve Brut.
Yes.
And cheers on that. And way to go to the bottle. You have a Torres on your list. Tell me about that.
I do. So thinking about giving gifts, I've got a budget gift and a splashy gift. Both of them are going to make you look really good, and both of them are not that difficult to find.
Okay.
And they happen to both be on sale until the first day of January. So Miguel Torres from Spain, one of the world's, you know, greatest producers of wine. Miguel Torres has you know, almost single-handedly lifted Spain up since the 1960s. And I adore the wines of Torres from around the country. One of the things that Miguel Torres did, other than bringing the stainless steel temperature control tank to Spain, was to start planting international grapes along with the Tempranillo and Verdejo, etc. First to bring in Cabernet to Spain. And there's a wonderful single vineyard estate that Torres has called Mas La Plana. And every time I taste this 100% Cabernet Sauvignon from, you know, not far from Barcelona, an area called Penedès, my knees go weak and, you know, I'm just overcome with delight and I'm impressed. It's a wonderful wine. It'll stop you dead in your tracks. It's pricey at $73. That's the regular price, but it's on sale for $67.99. It can age for 10 or 15 years. And it's just a glorious bottle of Cabernet. It's velvety, it's potent, it's expressive, it smells like Cabernet. You might think you've got Bordeaux in the bottle, and then you're so surprised when you see it's from Spain. It's just mightily impressive.
Okay. Chablis, you and I share a love of Chablis. I mean, it's given that how many people turn their nose up to Chablis? That's crazy.
Well, I think people turn their nose up at Chardonnay, thinking that they're going to get an over-oaked brut. And you know, Chablis sometimes gets misunderstood because people have turned their backs on Chardonnay, and Chablis suffers from that. What we need to understand is the majority of Chablis is Chardonnay with no oak. And then it's a completely different proposition, isn't it?
And so you have a William Favre.
I do. I've got one that's just so widely available. There's a beautiful selection of Chablis across stores in the province. But in the BC liquor system, the William Favre Champ Ohio is widely available. And for 30s, you know, mid-30s, it's such a classic Chablis. It's, you know, it's got ripe Chardonnay fruit, so apples and lemons and pears. It's toasty. It's got this, you know, beautiful padding of lees from resting in the bottle for a while on those texture building, aroma imbuing, yeasty lees. And there's no discernible oak at all. It's got electrifying acidity. If you are serving oysters or whatever, what are those little bacon wrapped thingies called? Angels on horseback.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Scallops and bacon. Any, you know, what do we like to do at Christmas time? Cheese balls.
Yeah, that's
charcuterie plates. This little Chablis will fit right in, and it's very, very festive, and it's a great price. Now, if you want to know one of my great bargains of the year,
I've been waiting for it. Go.
So I think Chianti in Tuscany has the most, you know, dinner-worthy red wines of all time, and they always have. Chianti Classico in particular, this is a little special patch of land within the larger region of Chianti, where the Romans went and cultivated first. And there's a producer called Mazzei and a wine that they've named Serlapo from one of their ancestors from the 1300s. So Chianti Classico Riserva, that refers to a Sangiovese-based wine. The Riserva word means it's had to age for longer in bottle and barrel.
Right.
The producer is Mazzei, and the name of the wine is Serlapo. This is just a stunning wine for the price. It's on sale for $29.99 now. It's got a big sticker on it that says 95 points from Decanter Magazine. And, you know, I'm in two minds about points, but Decanter is quite stingy with their points. So it's you have to work hard to earn 95 points from this wonderful magazine and their panel of judges. But it is magnificent Chianti Classico in every way. It's a beautiful, beautiful vintage that they have on the shelf now. And it's, you know, Sangiovese is all about bright, brisk acids that will revive every mouthful of your beautiful dinner at Christmas time. It's got just the right amount of oak. It's structured. It can age for another 10 years. And it's so much wine for the price. It's nuts. Absolutely nuts. If you haven't tasted this wine, TDM, run, don't walk, to go and get a bottle before it's all gone.
And again, if you go to tastingroomradio.com or mulliganstew.ca, which is the home base, all of these wines are listed and spelled correctly. All of the information is there for you. Chianti Classico Reserva, Mazzei, Serlapo. Chianti, go find that, please. Now, we've talked about your five gifting wines for yourself and others. I know you wanted to say something about BC, and I want to give you some room, so let me just take a quick break here. just for a second, and we'll regather and then have one short segment about BC Wines, because there's just an overview I'm looking for, if that's okay.
You bet.
She is DJ Kearney, and she is director of wine at the Terminal City Club and a wine education specialist and a great friend to you and me and wine in general. We'll be right back. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The very popular 2021 Wine Advent Calendar is now available. Each Moon Cursor Advent Calendar contains 12 mystery wines, all beautifully hand-wrapped. Included are an assortment of current releases, alongside a selection of library wines from the cellar. Each wine is individually wrapped and numbered. You can also get a 6-bottle vertical collection of their Twinkling Tempranillo. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And just for your information, the very popular Bistro at Hillside is closed for the season. They'll see you in March of 2022. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. Deej, here we are. We've almost done the entire show. And now we get down to the nuts and bolts, because in blue, in your typing, you said BC Conversations, Syrah, Riesling, Chardonnay, Cab Franc, Sparklings. Did you have specific labels in mind, or just the status of these wines in BC?
You know, I think at this point, you know, 20 years after I started really paying attention and diligently tasting BC wines, we can talk in generalities. It's kind of at the point now where you can just close your eyes and point to a bottle of BC wine on the shelf in these grape variety categories and have something fabulous. And the reason I've singled them out is that these grapes and the sparkling wine in general have just distinguished themselves. There's something about our wine regions, whether it's the Cowichan Valley, Kamloops, the North, Central, South Okanagan, or Similkameen. We're just doing something special and noteworthy and distinctive about these grapes. You know TDM, because you've been part of the tasting for the 5 years that we did the Judgment of BC.
Yep.
And this was a benchmark tasting that really tried to look at what we are doing well, what has got a distinctive singular style that stands beside the benchmarks of these grapes around the world. And over the years, and you and I, you know, smelled it, tasted it, and talked about it, something special is happening in our province with our climatic conditions and our soil types. And it's so exciting to me and gratifying that we really have focused on these grapes in particular, Syrah, Riesling, Chardonnay, Cabernet Franc, and sparklings that have got us to this point where they're all just singing. So that's where I can say any producer who is putting their heart and soul into them is going to make a lovely version of it. And I can point out a couple as we go, but you know, Syrah's at the top of my list. This grape, you know, it can't ripen everywhere. There's not a lot on Vancouver Island that's doing well. And you know what? I'm remiss in not putting Pinot on this list. I was typing after only one cup of coffee this morning. So can we just slot Pinot in there in big blue letters?
I'm going to add to your list if it's okay with you, because I wrote down Pinot. Yes, I did. It was my second. I started with Gamay because I think Gamay has an incredible future if we can find the land to grow it in, and we can maybe bring back some great old Gamay plantings. So I'm a big Gamay fan.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. Right? And this is, you know, if we just think of, we think of Blue Mountain, we think of Haywire, we think of...
We think of Bella.
Yes, absolutely. Bella's sparkling Gamays. There are... They're just, it's a beautiful grape here. It's an early ripener, and that helps it a lot. What are some of your other favorites?
I think, of course, of Okanagan, Carspad, and Haywire, absolutely. But it's Bella that catches my ear and my eye and my buds, because he's committed himself to that singular varietal, Jay Drysdale, and then he decided to figure out how to create it in different forms and shapes, in smells and tastes. And he's just, and he, as at the end of the conversation, he always says, "I need more Gamay. I need more Gamay." So I just celebrate the fact that I love my Gamay, and I just love what the rosé that comes from Gamay. I just go crazy for.
Absolutely. And Oak Bay is one that is one of those budget ones that just sings all the time. It's very, very special. And I love their Pinot as well.
And in terms of Pinot, you know, the Vancouver Island is really betting on Pinot to be one of their deals, one of their aces in the hole.
The Rathgen. So Rathgen, oh my goodness. When I tasted that blind, my notes were just... I was just riveted by that wine. Is it easy to find on the island?
It is easy to find. Yes. Depending, you have to choose your store as well. Some stores just don't get it. They're not. Some stores, many, 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 far too many wine stores, are just doing basic, cynical listings. Cynical. And I'm saying, when I find stores that actually embrace, BC wines, real BC wines, I go there. I am as loyal as I can be, and I give them as much space as possible. You just go and that's one of the searches you do, is you go and find stores that work for you. And so the Rathgen comes, I believe that vineyard is in Saanich. So Saanich is getting a flags up now. They're starting to do some wonderful plantings there. And there's new plantings at Unsworth. They bought 300 acres on top of a small hill that I walked. Right now it's a construction site, but it's going to be big deal. It's going to be a big, big, big deal.
It sure is. No, it's very, very exciting and very legitimizing, if I can use that word. So other Pinots, the one that, I judged the Lieutenant Governor Awards earlier as well. And Spearhead. Oh, my goodness. Everything that that Grant Stanley is doing at Spearhead is very, very special. When you have every single Pinot win a gold medal, and, that's saying something. The consistency, Grant's long years of making great Pinot with Quail's Gate, and before that in New Zealand, and now with Spearhead, it's very, very special. So if our listeners haven't tried any of the Spearhead Pinots, again, it's going to make you so, so proud. Haywire's Pinot did very, very well. 50th Parallel is one that I adore. Meyer always. So Corselet, this is stunning, stunning Pinot from the Similkameen Valley. Yeah, it's Oak Bay, one of the best bargains. How about Arrowleaf? Right, they always
they won
do
it.
One of
they
the
won
best
your, they won your judgment.
Pinots yes, in BC.
They won the judgment. They walked away with it.
They did. They did win the judgment in the very last judgment. That's exciting.
Here's a note I want to give you. It's rare that I would be able to impart some information to you. There's two stories that come from an interview I did with Krista Lee McWaters at Time Family. One was I saw a blend that had Ortega in it, and I've been doing interviews with wineries on Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, and they always have to explain what Ortega is to people coming through the door, not to locals, but to people who are coming as visitors and destinations. And it's been a tough sell Ortega, but when they get it right, it's really good. All of a sudden, I see it in one of the Time blends, and I said to her, "This is fantastic that you're." Using your blending with Ortega, because the Gulf Islands could use some Ortega support.
That's funny. Absolutely. I mean, it's a really, really delicious grape, and it's absolutely appropriate to some of our shorter growing season areas. It's got a very noble parentage, Müller-Thurgau and Sigareba. And it's an early ripener. That's why it's so suited for our regions, and it's dang delicious.
Okay.
If you love, you know, grapey, peachy, aromatic wines, it's just, it fleshes them out. It's a special grape, and it gets massive respect in Europe.
And here's the thing. Thank you for that. Here's the thing that the last thing that Crystal Lee McWaters said. I said, anything coming? She said, oh, yes, yes. We have a sparkling wine coming before the end of the year. And I believe it's the last wine my father ever made. And her voice caught, and she had to compose herself. It took her 10, 15 seconds to come back. And she said, it is. It's the last thing he ever made. And it's very special, and it's coming out at the end of the year. I can't give you the name of it yet, but I think you'll notice it. And I will certainly let the audience know when it's coming out.
That's a very, very fitting tribute. We miss Harry all the time. And I saw Crystal Lee twice this summer at events, and you know, his spirit lives on. You really, really feel
sure,
it.
He of course.
Was such a critical pioneer for us in British Columbia, and in Canada. That's lovely. I can't wait.
The kids are watching over the family name. She is DJ Kearney. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We'll be right back with the fourth and final segment. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And just for your information, the very popular Bistro at Hillside is closed for the season. They'll see you in March of 2022. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Enrico is pleased to announce that the 2020 Enrico Shining Armor Pinot Gris has won a coveted Platinum Award at the recently announced 2021 BC Lieutenant Governor's Wine Awards. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 5 p.m. All of the details at EnricoWinery.com. As promised, welcome back to the fourth and final segment of this Tasting Room Radio, December the 11th. Merry Christmas. Best of the season to you. Happy Hanukkah. We have taken up almost an entire hour of DJ Kearney's time. She is an educator, a teacher, a mentor, and is the leading voice for wines in Canada and representing Canada around the world. We're honored to have her here. Deej, one thing. Now, you know me well, and you probably know where I'm headed with this last question. I took a look. I decided to do some searching for BC wines in Ontario and Ontario wines in BC. And I found a Mission Hill, Burrowing Owl, Sperling, Meyer, LeVue, La Stella, Clos du Soleil, Corselettes, Checkmate, Soyuz La Rose, Tantalus, Geringer, and a couple of others. In Ontario, and in small, only one release, really, one or two or three releases. Ontario wines in BC, nothing. Like, literally, I mean, you have to search hard to find something of anything. When will this madness stop? When will this wall come down? And when will we actually get together on our wines? Do you think it'll happen in our lifetime?
Oh, goodness, Terry. Well, yes, I do. I think it will happen in our lifetime. I think our, our government's got to get it together. Our drinkers, our wine lovers need to insist upon it. Our good friend Anthony Gismondi has been banging this drum along with you, who've done significant things in the last, you know, what, how long ago did you do your midnight ride to across the BC Alberta border?
It's a blur.
15 years ago?
It's a blur, yes, yes.
Yeah, so I think it will happen. You can look at restaurant wine lists, you know, the ones that I put together. We've got Taws out here in several private stores and on lists. But it takes effort. All the wineries that have got BC wines in Ontario have undertaken to do this personally and with a lot of effort and determination. But it's so substandard. It's so deficient that we can't enjoy wines across our country. And, you know, that has to change. Obviously, I think the pandemic has taken our eyes off this for the last couple of years, and understandably so. But, you know, I just want us to drink Canadian wines and support them. Everybody should have a look at this list with a lot of pride and curiosity. And, you know, I'm drinking BC wines all the time because we need to support our growers, especially with floods and, you know, roads closed and things. It matters more than ever, doesn't it, TDM?
It does. Well done, and thank you for setting that table. And finally, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to give you a winery that I am watching with the intention, because the wines coming out of Anthony Buchanan are just stunning. They're absolutely stunning. And it's not like over the top, wow, world beaters. It's just that he is playing with the wine form like an artist, including going out and picking dandelions in his yard and putting them into a blend. Is there one winery out there or one winemaker that you're watching everything that they do?
Well, first of all, about Anthony Buchanan, he caught my eye when he was making the wines at Eau Vivre in the Similkameen.
Right.
And I've been a fan. And, you know, he's a island boy and started out as a hairdresser. And
good
I think
hair.
That artistry, he's got great hair himself. That artistry is just coming out now with a lot of confidence. Have you heard of a little winery called Chain Reaction?
I have not.
Ooh, so this is on the Naramata Bench. And they caught my eye with a Pinot Gris that did very, very well at the LGs, the Lieutenant Governor Awards, earlier this fall. And then their Pinot did very, very well at the Wine Align Nationals. So you look up Chain Reaction. You know, then I started to put the pieces together. I didn't know the name, but what I discovered, Terry, is that I taught the owners in one of my classes in the WSET program. So it all makes sense. There are people absolutely not from the wine industry, but they got interested and bought a little land on the Naramata Bench a few years ago. Then they ended up in my wine class. And, you know, the fact that I like their wine has nothing to do with the fact that I taught them. They are clearly onto something, you know, they're very, very skilled. But you should look for Chain Reaction Winery from the Naramata Bench.
And finally, you set something in motion in my brain. Have you tried Two House?
No.
Okay, so Two House or Two Houses.
Yes, absolutely. So Ian Sutherland and Val Tate, I have. I'm not used to the name yet, but their wines are wonderful. And are you surprised at all?
Not at all. No, not at all.
The brain trust that these two great winemakers and viticulturalists have from BC.
Okay. Well, you know, we could do this for hours, but we're not going to. She is DJ Kearney. She's the director of wine at Terminal City Club. She has a wine a program to run, and I got to get her off the hook. And she's a wine education specialist. How do people find you? What's your internet address these days?
Do you know, TDM, this is a COVID thing. I'm laying low. I'm finding less and less love and time and interest in social media. How about that?
Meg just gave you a thumbs up.
You know
way
what?
To go.
You've inspired me to put something on Instagram. I'm at DJ Wines.
Okay. And I'll fax you. I'll fax you the details. All right. Thank you very much, Deej, for doing this. Thank you for your time. I want to wish you and David a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you. And thank you for everything you do for BC Wine.
Same to you and Meg. It's amazing to speak to you, TDM. It makes my world feel, small and much more special.
Hugs. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Enrico is pleased to announce that the 2020 Enrico Shining Armor Pinot Gris has won a coveted Platinum Award at the recently announced 2021 BC Lieutenant Governor's Wine Awards. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 5 p.m. All of the details at EnricoWinery.com.